This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Are you excited about football, ladies and gentlemen? I'm guessing you're not because you're listening to me and not watching the telly. It's 5 minutes past one. We're talking wine, everything to do with wine. You're going to learn a lot, you're going to enjoy it, and maybe we might even drink some. Stick with me, this is going to be fun. Yes, we are talking cravings because it's 6 minutes past one on a Saturday afternoon. You're on Joy 94.9. It is a grubby day outside in fair Melbourne town, but that's all right because most of you are either going to be at the MCG or you're going to have your face stuck to the television to watch Hawthorn get done by the Sydney Swans.
No.
We'll come to you in a minute when you're invited to speak, Mr. Sims. For me, I think it's going to be I've not really given a toss since about the first round of the finals when my beloved boys got bundled out, rather unceremoniously, as a matter of fact. So, whilst some of you do care about the football, many of you don't. And some of you might, in fact, care about wine, and that is the focus of today's program. We're talking about wine. So if you want to know anything about wine, listen in and don't be scared to ask questions because I have in front of me two gentlemen who pretty much know all there is to know about it, drinking it, making it, judging it. Celebrating with it and quite possibly bathing in it. 0427 Joy 949 is the SMS. You can email on air at joy.org.au. You can phone 1300 Joy 949, speak to Heath sitting on the front desk. Or if you must, you can send a tweet to cravings underscore joy 949. Very pleased to have both of them. Well, I did wonder whether they actually existed as separate entities for some time. To have both Dan Sims and Ben Edwards in the studio. Welcome, fellas.
I'll say thank you first.
That's all right.
Thanks, Pete.
Dan, I have you in quite frequently, but to get bugger lugs in here is always a bit of a stretch.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Well, normally you're off travelling somewhere doing something exciting and fabulous. And
it's great that I get to see him, actually.
Given you're in business together.
Yeah, it's a weird treat.
Really nice to see, yes.
We forget what we look like, you know, it's that whole thing. Oh, my God, that's what you look like. I forgot.
Goodness me. That's why I was attracted to you in the first place. This bromance that you have has itself in the form of several businesses. Similius Australia, which is a not-for-profit organisation that is an association for those people in the restaurant that serve you and suggest your wine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm the president.
You're the president.
El Presidente. It's good to be the president.
And you're the...
I like to think of myself as the chief of staff. My job is to make the president look more presidential.
I see.
I prefer chief whip.
I kick heads.
I'm stopping right there because I got caught in a saddle store in Ballarat the other day and I had far too much fun. Speaking of chief whips. And then there's also your other business, which we can probably talk about.
Mm-hmm. We could. The Wine Guide.
Yeah, that one.
Yes. We consult to restaurants and we also run events consult also to the corporate sector a little bit as well when they're kind enough to want our advice on certain things.
And you work with restaurants in designing wine lists and creating the
staff wine training, trying to engender a wine culture in different venues.
So you could be called experts.
I love that word. I still don't really know what it means, but I love that word.
Another project which we'll talk about in just a little minute, because we did have Dan on, I don't know, 9 months ago maybe.
Feels like it.
It feels like forever ago, talking about Two Men in Mendoza, which we'll get to because there's a bottle of wine in front of you.
Yes.
But firstly, I know there's something that you're both very excited about.
Yes.
Something that lifts your skirts, so to speak, is what the French would call Burgundy.
Well, Burgundy, yes. Well, we're talking about Pinot Noir, aren't we?
Yes, yes. And we are surrounded by Pinot Noir in our fair city of Melbourne. They make wonderful Pinot Noir in the Mornington Peninsula. I'm pointing, by the way, in Yarra Valley.
It's good to point
on now, right. Some being made out on the other side of town.
Do you know what we call that?
What?
We call that the dress circle, Melbourne's dress circle of
so
wine
about
regions.
150 k's in a circle around the centre of the town.
And all of them produce lovely Pinot Noir.
Why is that? Why, tell me why we produce such good Pinot Noir when you... Compare it. Yeah. Now it's called Pinot Noir, right?
Not Pinot Noir.
Noir.
No, it's just Noir.
Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir.
Yeah. Why do we produce such good Pinot?
Pinot Noir is an early ripening grape variety, and therefore it needs a cool climate to build up complexity. And if you think about Melbourne in terms of latitude, it's quite a long way south. So around us, we have we have many different regions, but especially around Melbourne, we have some ideal climatic conditions to be able to grow a grape variety as fickle and as difficult and as enjoyable as Pinot Noir.
Well, so why is it so difficult, Dan, to grow?
Well, it's sensitive.
just like me today.
Yeah, just like me, exactly me today.
So you're both a bit secondhand this morning. Have you come onto my radio program feeling a bit plain?
No, of course not. I didn't have too many martinis at the Gin Palace last night. No, I think...
That will catch anybody.
They do.
I'll give you that. It'll catch anybody.
But I think the thing we love about Pinot Noir is it's, and I say this all the time, it's the grape variety that excites us the most, but then also disappoints the most, because you're almost like you want to chase that whole, well, we saw chase the Pinot dragon, where you want the Pinot can take you up to the heights of just, you just love it so much, it's so amazing, and then the other times it can disappoint you so much, then you're just going, I've just spent $100 on this bottle of wine and it was terrible. But you won't
why
stop.
Would you spend $100 in a bottle of wine in the first place is my question.
Well, generally a Pinot Noir, I mean, it's
because you're a tragic
because you're a Pinot file, because you have to get into this sort of thing because you love it so much, you want that rush of great Pinot Noir. But generally, Pinot Noir, because it is very difficult to grow, and it's an expensive process. So, for many varieties, you kind of get what you pay for with Pinot Noir. Finding really good value, say cheap Pinot Noir, is very, very difficult.
I'm not suggesting cheap, but I'm certainly suggesting drinkable Pinot Noir. You can pick up $20 in a bottle.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
But to make really good Pinot Noir at $20 is an extremely difficult thing to do, and the art of the winemaker comes to the fore, because it's very easy to stuff it up, both in the winery and in the vineyard. And that's one of the reasons why it's such a fickle grape variety. The winemaker can stuff up the process, the viticulturist can stuff up the process, and it translates every little thing that happens to it into the bottle. So that's why we love it so much. It's the most transparent and translucent, in a lot of ways, grape variety on the planet.
So being the experts that you are, and I'm going to pose a question on behalf of our listeners, if I was to go with $20 to my independent liquor store, what am I looking for when I buy a bottle of Pinot?
Well, when it comes down to Pinot Noir, everyone's idea of great Pinot Noir is different, and one thing you'd almost say, and Ben does, well, both do a bit of show judging, but everyone's idea is very, very different. And I think the main question you have to ask yourself is what style of Pinot you prefer. So, and we have these three terms. We say light, medium, and full.
I'm going to get you to hold that thought, because
I'm
we do need to play
it.
Some
careful
messages. And I want to come back and talk about light, medium, and full when it comes to Pinot Noir, because it warrants more than 30 seconds. It's 30 minutes past one here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. I am Pete Dillon. It's grand final day. We'd like to hear from you and asking questions about wine. If you had $20 and went into the bottle shop, what would you buy? Send us a message, 0427 joy949. You can email on air at joy.org.au. You can send a tweet to cravings_joy949 or ring one of the lads on the desk and get them to ask the question. That was The Slits with Heard It Through the Grapevine. What a cracking little tune. Dan Sims, thank you for that.
Pleasure.
Played off your phone. Yes, Heard It Through the Grapevine via The Slits, because we'll of course be playing songs associated with wine today as well. Because I've got two fellows in the studio who are a couple of wine gurus. They are frightfully knowledgeable. They're experts. We didn't ask at the beginning of the show. Grand final tip?
Go Hawthorn.
By how many points?
Lots. No, see, I think it's going to be pretty close.
I think it'll be a crackingly good game.
Yes.
And I actually have to confess something.
Get off the fence, Bruce McAvaney.
My wife barracks for the Hawks, wonderful. But when I was a kid, I lived in South Melbourne and barracked for South Melbourne, and then I was completely betrayed when they moved to that place.
So who do you back for now?
Well, there's a funny story about for the Brisbane Lions, because I then went and barracked for Fitzroy. But because my parents moved to Queensland, so I thought, stuff it, I'm going to stay with Fitzroy.
Ben,
slash
you seem
the
very
Lions.
Fickle. Give me an answer to my question. Who's going to win and by how much?
Go Hawks.
I think it's going to be Sydney by a narrow margin.
No. Thank you, Ben Edwards. No. Sydney by a narrow margin.
I mean, it's not as bad as like.
And you're saying Hawks by a bagful.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, no, not by a bag. I think it'd be pretty close, but 3 goals.
If it does blow out, it can only blow out in one direction.
Buddy Franklin's way.
Yep. But I don't.
Buddy's got to have a day. No, I just don't think. You know what? I think the Hawks are a little bit arrogant at the end of the season.
Oh, come
and a little
on.
Bit tired.
Footballers, arrogant.
I know.
Really?
We're not here to talk about
with
football,
all their short shorts and high kicks. I mean, get out.
That would suggest it's camp, not arrogant.
Just a little.
I'm taking the Bloods by 12 points.
Okay, very good.
Well, there's a lot of close associations to me. Horse Longmire.
You're wearing red and white for a start.
I know, that's why I chose red and white this morning. Horse Longmire, their coach, played for North Melbourne.
Yep.
Their assistant coach is Adam Simpson, who is an absolute legend of the North Melbourne Football Club. Yeah. So that's where my allegiance comes from.
Fair enough.
Back to wine. We are talking about, first of all, Pinot Noir, because there is an event coming up very soon in October. My birthday month, I must remind you, that is called
month of my birthday.
Yes,
month.
My mother took 31 days to expel me from her thighs, and so I celebrate the entire month. It's called a Pinot Palooza. And it's a very good place for people to, if nothing else, to come and learn a bit more about Pinot Noir.
Absolutely. I also think have a heck of a lot of fun with it. And,
well, that's important.
And we were, late last year, we were talking around, banding some ideas around going, we've been to a lot of wine events and we're involved in a lot of wine events. And sometimes, let's face it, it's true.
They're as boring as all get out.
They're so boring and it's awful. So we wanted to have... coming up with some idea about having a really super event, and there was going to be a bit of fun. So Pinot Noir,
I think the word you're looking for is kick ass.
Kick ass.
Well, you guys always do fun events. This is the thing. Anything that I've been to that involves the Wine Guide or Somers Australia,
just because you get pissed.
It has nothing to do with it. I do not get pissed. I may be mildly over refreshed
and sometimes tired and emotional.
Yeah, that. But I don't get pissed. And you're suggesting that I do things that aren't in moderation.
I'm all about encouraging.
But the other thing about Pinot Palooza is to find that nice balance between education and entertainment.
Yes.
And we've got 70 unbelievable producers from Australia and New Zealand. We do like to say
edutainment.
We've got 70 producers from across Australia and New Zealand.
And I'm very pleased to note that some of the lesser known Pinot Noir regions are in fact featuring as
absolutely.
Part of this event, including a little one I tasted the other day from Eastern Peak.
Yes. Well, we like to think of ourselves as inclusive rather than exclusive.
And that young winemaker from Eastern Peak, Owen, I believe, is going to be a... quite a talent as a winemaker as he
You've
matures his craft. You've heard it first here. not so pleased to see so many from New Zealand.
Oh,
why do
come
we have
on.
To... No, you know that I have a little bit of a thing up my jacksy about that. Why
At
so
least
much...
it's not that white grape variety, mate.
Yeah.
No, it's slut juice.
Bitch diesel.
Yeah, that's the one. which we know we have a moratorium on. Obviously, the climate in New Zealand is suitable for growing and producing fine Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm.
I have to confess a bit of a fondness for Araya.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely.
Why wouldn't you?
Because it's probably delicious. One of the best in New Zealand. Martinborough, which is a newer region that a lot of people might not know about. If they drink New Zealand wine, they would know Marlborough.
Yep.
Martinborough, is it New World? Is that the word we're after?
Well, it's in New Zealand, so it's a good start for it being in the New World. But in terms of the history of Pinot Noir, and look, the New Zealand wine industry as we know it today is incredibly young. It's actually really been sort of operating in the parameters that we see it on shelves today really only the last 20, 25 years. And that's a very short period of time. But it also coincides very much with our growing up with producing Pinot Noir in Australia. So they got onto it, but their style of wine is very different to ours. And this is what Pinot Palooza is all about. Yeah. It's talking about the style. And so we're going to have the light, ethereal, skinny, bony kind of Pinots up against the big, rich, hulky kind of wines.
I'm glad you're using layman's terms because I think it's important. Dan, you were talking just before we heard that song by The Slits, light, medium and heavy. Was that the word?
Yeah, light, medium, heavy.
Medium, full,
most of us can...
Think of beer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, most of us can understand the concept of if something's light, it's not heavy, and if something's full, it sounds pretty big. So relating that to wine, it's a really easy way to help people understand what sort of style of wine they like, whether it be Pinot Noir, whether that be Shiraz or anything. And with this event, what we're trying to do is as Ben was saying before, these light, medium, and fuller styles, we're going to have little stickers on all the bottles, so you'll be able to taste all the lighter ones or the really big,
heavier styles. So if your fondness tends towards the lighter style of Pinot.
And I think everyone says, oh, what's the best Pinot? Well, it's about the best Pinot for you, and if we can help...
And for your $20 when you go to your independent liquor store.
And if you can help figure... If we can help you figure that out, then that's a good thing, so...
Good. Let's start with light, then. If I was to take my $20 and go into my independent liquor store, because I will not buy from anything that's a chain liquor store...
Okay.
Fair enough.
Well, I don't like the duopoly. What would be a good light style of Pinot to take to somebody's house?
Well, I'd say $20. Instead of saying brands, I think you'd also talk about, say, regions.
Regions
generally
is good.
Say Yarra Valley tends to produce more lighter, more ethereal, red fruited styles of Pinot Noir.
And the higher altitude vineyards of, say, the Mornington Peninsula also produce the sort of more red fruited, you know, sort of crunchy, refreshing styles of wines, a bit like the Yarra. But then in different parts of the Yarra, you also will find bigger, fuller flavoured wines. Mm. So, but it tends to be, you'll find that at that lower end in terms of dollars, so around that $20, you will get the lighter bodied wines.
Right.
They're more the fuller flavoured that still manage to taste and look and smell like Pinot Noir tend to start creeping up a little bit from there.
Dan Sims and Ben Edwards are my resident experts on Pinot Noir. If we are to move to a medium style Pinot Noir, again, I've got, let's say I've got $30 now and I'm in my independent liquor store, I'm splashing out. Because I'm paying for it myself.
Well, look, I mean, one region we're so close to, Mornington Peninsula, and in terms of the styles and array, or the array of styles of Pinot Noir, Mornington's fantastic. They've probably handled the difficulties of the last few vintages really, really well, and there's a great consistency, you know, throughout. And the quality level, especially from the 10s, which we saw recently,
fantastic.
Were
awesome.
Amazing. They were just, it was a pleasure to taste. They were, they're very, very, very exciting. And as a region that's really hanging its hat on a variety, Mornington Peninsula is doing that with Pinot Noir.
Yeah. Right. And so just quickly, though, as I was saying, there's the higher altitude. And if you've been down in the peninsula, you know, you go up Arthur's Seat, there's altitude. But there's also what we call sort of Northern Peninsula and Merrick's North areas, where there's a sort of cluster of vineyards that actually produce wines with a bit more depth, slightly darker fruits, a bit more weight. So if you need more from your wine rather than a little less, then you can look for those areas.
A question that I had some friends with me. We went for a bit of a cruise down along the ocean.
Yeah.
And saw a lot of wine growing. How does the salt in the salt spray off the ocean affect grapes, or does it not at all?
Ben?
Look, I could
beautiful handball.
I couldn't go into the technical side of that. I wouldn't have thought it's such a big issue. The reality is that it's a maritime climate. It's affected by two bays, so you have Western Port and Port Phillip.
Yep.
So the effects that you have make it a very unique area for growing grapes, but it also makes it quite temperate in a lot of ways. So the different winds, the different aspects, there's different vineyards, and this is Pinot Noir at its absolute most. Is it's actually very much about specific sites. And if you come to Pinot Palooza at pinotpalooza.com.au, actually on the website there's a list of producers where they come from, and it'll actually tell you a bit more about it. And there's more stuff coming up on our blog there as well.
And I think, as you can tell, that as we're talking about Pinot, how geeky and how in-depth you can get with it. You can't help it, but there's something good. And I think that's because Pinot Noir is a great variety. It's one you kind of discover a little bit further down, you know, the road of your wine journey, so to speak. Very rarely that someone will say the first wine they ever tried was a Pinot Noir. And they'll start off with, say, fuller flavoured styles, like, say, Shiraz or something like that, and then discover Pinot. Once you get there, it's like, oh, my God. There's an enlightening.
Is there a particular kind of soil that is best for growing Pinot?
Oh, you're getting very geeky today, Pete.
I'm trying to...
Different characteristics in Pinot will be reflected through the variety. So if it's soil types, if you've got, say, you know, chalky soils, you've got limestone, if you've got alluvial soils, all of those different sorts of soils will have an impact on how the wine tastes. And the reason why we love Pinot so much is because it actually tells you that story more so than any other grape variety.
Oh, there you go. You've got your wine talking to you. That's when you know you've probably had one glass too many. It is 27 minutes past one here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. Ben Edwards and Dan Sims are my guests. You can send your questions, your thoughts, 0427JOY949. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can phone 1300JOY949, speak to the chaps on the desk, or in fact send us a tweet to cravings_joy949. We're going to have a couple of messages, and then Pinot can be found across the universe, and that'll be a lovely segue to the track that will follow these messages. I'm Pete Dillon. It's 27 minutes past one.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are listening to Joy 94.9. Well, my guests are chatting in the background. This is Cravings. Pete Dillon with you through until 2 o'clock when the boys from Fender Bender will pop in and give you their very own, very special grand final program, I should think, because they're all blokes. They'll be talking about footy and stuff. I'm talking about wine and stuff because that is my want. In the studio, Ben Edwards and Dan Sims from The Wine Guide and from Sommeliers Australia. Of course, also putting together something called a Pinopalooza, 21st of October. You really should be a part of that if you have any fondness at all whatsoever for Pinot Noir. Why should they be there, boys?
Well, 70 producers showcasing 130 of the finest Pinot Noirs from Australia and New Zealand. We've also got St. Catharines, who are doing the food. Be available there, and also...
That's our man Shane D'Elia. Yeah,
absolutely. And also the guys from Isola Chianina will be there offering some food there as well. But we're going to do a whole bunch of door prizes and giveaways on the day. And if you come along, we want you to vote for your favourite Pinot Noir on the day.
Atarangi for me.
Well...
Oh, do I have
so
to
you just
there?
Said
Sorry.
You just said New Zealand, which is fantastic. I know well, straight off the bat. But actually, if you do that, if you vote for your favourite New Zealand Pinot, you'll actually go in the draw to win a trip to New Zealand. To New Zealand, bro.
For the Pinot Noir 2013.
Wow.
Which is a four-day extravaganza of Pinot Noir.
I think I'd enjoy that.
We'll be there.
Can I just win it and we just won't tell anyone?
Sure.
Excellent. That's what we like.
This is not live, right?
We'd like everything to be as transparent as possible. Look, there's a couple of other things I want to talk to you about in and amongst a Pinot Noir. One of them is Melbeck. And a little project that we first talked about, I say a little project, you've gone grey in a matter of some weeks, Ben Edwards, that we talked about earlier in the year called Two Men in Mendoza. And we did promise to have you, one or both of you back, if you're at all in the country, Ben Edwards,
yes.
to talk about this project, because you have pretty much put your nuts on the line in numerous ways to...
in no...
uncertain terms. You talk about wine, you are experts in wine, and so you've decided it was time to put the knackers on the line and actually make some wine.
Yep. And of course, we decided to do that on the other side of the world. The other side of the world, in South America, in Argentina.
We have to find a song to play about this. We really do.
So the whole project's called Two Men, or the Two Men Project.
Which is Two Men in Mendoza.
Two Men in Mendoza, but the wine's called Two Men. And what we'll do is that the first step of it was Two Men in Mendoza, where we have identified certain regions in the world that produce the very best examples of a specific variety. And there is no better Melbeck produced anywhere in the world. Although the French might argue.
Why Melbeck?
Because it's delicious.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It's one of those things we're talking about. The reason why Argentina, why Melbeck. Mm. And the first time we were over there, we was post the Sommelier du Monde competition in Chile. And
yes.
Did a three-day little, I suppose, discovery tour. And we saw about 24 producers in something like 3 days. It was a ridiculous schedule. But then, you know, sitting at the end of the day, drinking this bottle of Melbeck, eating a steak, and they eat a lot of meat over there. And it was
Argentina, yes, they do eat a lot of meat.
But it was one of those moments you go, wow, this whole thing works. And the whole meat in Melbeck, everything was going great. You're eating the steak and then you're drinking the Melbeck, and all of a sudden the bottle's empty and you can't remember drinking it. Not because you're an alcoholic, but it just goes so well. And using analogies such as if you're in Tuscany, you're having a beautiful bowl of pappardelle con cingale and a bottle of Sangiovese and the Tuscan hills, and you just go, this is just great. And I think
we wanted to bring it to the rest of the world, but
because it's an interesting choice of grape,
bottling that moment.
Interesting choice of grape because it's a grape that people don't know a lot about.
No.
So let's give a bit of a Melbeck 101, shall we? You've got 140 characters. Describe Melbeck in a tweet.
Fleshy, easy drinking, plenty of pleasure. For those who love to think about wine and for those who just love to drink it.
Absolutely.
That doesn't get any better than that. We should bottle that little pricey Ben Edwards. So you've made a rosé, which is soon to be available in Australia, and we did talk about this being a part of the rosé revolution.
Absolutely. So we've bottled the wine, which happened this week, actually, on Wednesday of this week in Argentina. And hopefully we'll get on a boat and we'll be here the end of probably mid-November, towards the end of November, hopefully. And the style of wine we're trying to make, as Ben said, it's about wine for drinking, not thinking. These are just really good, approachable, accessible styles that
also tell a story.
That also tell a story of where it's from and the place. And one thing... I think with wine, we tend to get caught up in the technical aspects
which scares a lot of people with wine.
And of course it is, because it's boring. And I think the one thing that we like about it is it's about the place, it's about the story and the culture and the history. And what we're trying to do is, you know, actually go to that place and document that, and then to be able to bottle it and then talk about those experiences. And
how are you creating that documentary? Are you filming? Are you writing? Are you?
There's been plenty of filming.
Vlogging.
Well, yeah, we've been filming. We went over there in October for a little bit of our recon to try and find a winery to do that. And then we filmed also in March. Of us making the wine, which was quite funny actually, but getting to know the place and the people, and then we'll do a lot of follow up. So this is an ongoing process, and we also want to be able to take it to market. We want to be able to show this to people, and you know, we're supposed to know a thing or six about wine, and then is this wine going to be any good? And we want to hear people's reactions.
And this is why I suggested that you might be putting your knackers on the line. You're also putting your reputations on the line.
Absolutely. Yeah. But how much do you love rosé?
I do love rosé, provided that it doesn't taste like cordial.
It doesn't.
It's not
taste
sweet.
Like it's
not I like sweet. Rosés that are dry and savoury and flinty and all of those
things.
I think
you'll like this rosé.
Excellent. Well, there's a bottle sitting in front of us, and I reckon give it about 21 minutes until 2 o'clock, and I might have to have a little slurp. I'll just help myself.
Absolutely.
I don't have a corkscrew, so we'll have to push the cork in.
It won't be released under a corkscrew. No. This is just a sample that I bought back.
It's been released under a black screw cap, I believe.
Under a black screw cap, because of course I went over there for all of 3 days just to make sure that the wine that we were putting into bottle was the wine that we started producing when we were there for 5 weeks during vintage. So I must say, with all of the trials and tribulations that have gone on in this process,
and you
will be able to learn about that on our Facebook page as time goes by. But of all of that, the one thing that is tried and true for me, now that I've been there, I've seen the wines. There's 3 wines in total. I love the wines, and I reckon people
will. So you're doing a rosé, then you're doing a Malbec for general release, then you're doing a special release.
A single vineyard wine. Yeah, a smaller production.
And this whole point is about telling the story of where it is. And our single vineyard is going to be in Altamira, which is part of the Uco Valley. And it's right up nestled against the Andes. We think it's one of the most westerly vineyards. In Mendoza. And so you tend to be, it's really lovely in floral characters, higher altitude about.
It's at the elegant end of the Malbec spectrum.
And it's funny when we talk about Malbec and not knowing much about it. It's for us, I think there's this perception about Argentinian wine that is just, it's one dimensional and there's only one style. Now, for me, that really reminds me of, you think about this perception of Australian, say, Shiraz in international markets. People think there's only one style of Shiraz. Now, we know that's complete
bollocks,
because it's a big country and it's very diverse. It's the same with Mendoza. From north, from the most southerly area to the northern part, you're talking about almost 350 kilometres. So you're going to get diversity, probably, is that about right? Maybe a little bit less, but it doesn't matter.
It's a big area.
From Melbourne City, it's huge.
I think you're just shushed there, Dan.
No. It is, but the point of it is that it's the diversity is inherent in such a large space, and it's also in a desert, so it's more about managing your water efficiently. Mm. But also, there just seems to be a natural affinity with the grape variety and the place, and then it has all these different personalities within that. It's not it's not one-dimensional, as Dan says. It's actually got many facets,
like,
and there's a lot
Noir,
to enjoy.
Yeah,
absolutely. But, and the other thing, you know, I was talking about before about how Australia and New Zealand are on a relatively young journey with regard to Pinot Noir. Malbec's the same in a lot of ways. They've had it for 120 years, but it's only in the last sort of 20 years that it's become a phenomena, and it's exciting times.
Well, we will return and talk some more about Malbec. We might even talk about some Chardonnay. We'll talk about all sorts of things. It's 18 minutes to 2 here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. We are talking wine. We'd love to hear from you. 0427 Joy 949. Email onair@joy.org.au. Phone 1300 Joy 949. Speak to Heath sitting at the front, or Fernando. Or you can indeed send a tweet to cravings_joy949.
Joy 94.9.
It is 17 minutes to 2 here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. We had a studio full of people and all of a sudden it's empty. And except for the boys here. The boys here talking about wine. And I'd really like to know that at least one of you is listening. So send me a text, 0427 Joy 949. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can send something via the app on your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Or you can just ring and say, yes, I'm listening to this very, very enlightening discussion about predominantly Pinot Noir, but wine in general. Now, Ben, I do hear talk amongst the industry. Little Bird told me a bit of an international incident to do with your wine. Anything that we can discuss, or should that be left embargoed
It's unresolved, and let's just say it has a lot more to do with Argentina and Argentinian bureaucracy than it does with Australia, and maybe two men were two stupid men for the moment.
Sort it out.
Two dumb Aussies.
Well, that's
go,
yeah.
Two go dumb to Aussies. South America.
Oh, yeah, we'll go to South America. We can do this. This is easy.
Can't be that hard. Everyone's doing it.
But what, well, I think
his idea was this anyway.
One of the burning questions, when I was having a discussion about this project with somebody recently, they said, why didn't they go the way there? Why didn't they go to Heathcote and make some wine first and get that experience?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons. One,
is it too easy?
Comparatively, yes. And also we've got a lot of mates who make a lot of wine, and I suppose really, for, you know, Ben was always said there's a bit of a conflict being that he writes for the wine company. Speaking for you.
It's all good. I'm just going to sit there and take it.
You write for James Halliday's Wine Companion, which people should know.
And the Wine Companion magazine.
Yes.
And also do a lot of show judging, things like that. So I think the whole process was, as I said, about taking yourself out of the comfort zone, and that was like right out of the comfort zone, and to make it a bit difficult, but also talk about the process. I think a lot of us have this romantic idea that, well, I was going to have a winery and make a wine, and isn't everything going to be fantastic, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, hello, Pollyanna, slap yourself and wake up.
Absolutely. So, and we know that this, we're kind of setting ourselves up by deliberately putting ourselves under pressure from the start, or taking ourselves out of the comfort zone. And to be able to then take it, not only trying to make that in another country, but then trying to get it here and then take it to different markets. We want to be able to take it to places like Hong Kong or Singapore and talk about that process from start to finish, because it's a long process. It's a difficult process.
Has the risk been worth it?
Don't ask us just yet.
Well, I know that you're probably two-thirds of the way through the process in that you've been over there, you've done the vintage, you've picked the grapes, you've made your first lot of wine. The other two are still happily brewing away in tanks. You're two-thirds of the way through. At some point, you've got to sit down and say, are we going to be ruined because of this? Or I think we might be okay.
Look, Pete, I think we might be okay. More than that is we really want people to buy into the story of it and get as much out of it as we have. Because wine, it is about the narrative. It is more than just an alcoholic beverage. It is actually trying to draw you in and get you involved in something more than just grape juice that's turned into wine. So that, on that side of things, I'm really confident that people will be able to see these wines, love them, fall in love with the story, maybe even get inspired to get over to South America and go to Argentina themselves.
Yeah. Make some wine. Go on.
I'm not sure about the making wine bit, but definitely get over there. It's a fabulous country.
It's a beautiful place, and there's so much to see over there. And the people that we've met have been fantastic. And it's those kind of moments. And look, there's not this where our single vineyard, in Altamira, and it's a stunning place. And we had the girls over, we had our wives over with us. And
the girls.
The girls.
Thrilled to know.
Yeah, and so we're over there, and we're all standing there looking at this vineyard. The aunties are there, and the wives are there, and it's like, you know, this is awesome.
It's fairly idyllic, isn't it?
It is. It's a bit romantic, but it's like, hey, look, they can't take this away from us.
No, they can't.
We might go broke, but hey, it's been fun.
Well, we've had fun. We do have a tweet. We know that there are people listening.
Oh my goodness. This is from
the lovely team at the Royal Mail Hotel in Dunkeld, who said, yes, we're listening, just busy getting the party pies and sausage rolls ready.
Yes.
Go Hawks.
With an E.
Yeah. So, yeah, real good Hawks supporters you are. Thank you very much to the lovely people at the Royal Mail Hotel. They generally send us a tweet every week just to remind us that they're there.
That's nice.
It's a gorgeous place to visit.
It is.
Now, where else have you been visiting? Because
I've got a question for you. Are you a Chardonnay drinker?
I have to put my hand on my heart and say that I went for a considerable period of time where I was an ABC.
Anything but Chardonnay.
And I guess the joy of that experience for me was I was able to learn more about things that were an alternative variety. So I have drank things like Falanghina and you know,
you need a cream for that?
Yeah, I know. It's like a rash. I've drank a lot of whites that aren't Sauvignon Blanc, definitely, unless they're Australian. And I will still drink Australian Sauvignon Blanc from Adelaide Hills and Margaret River. There's some nice wines that are being produced in Australia.
Still Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, I know it's still Sauvignon Blanc. But, I spent a long time not drinking Chardonnay. I'm back to Chardonnay with a vengeance because My concern for Chardonnay, and you'll be able to correct me because I'm probably
wrong.
I'm
not that you're concerned.
It was too big. It was too unctuous. There was too many people spending too much time playing around with Chardonnay, trying to make it taste like you would get somewhere else, rather than letting our Chardonnay let the fruit speak for itself, let the wine be less fussy and more honest.
Well, then,
and that was my problem with Chardonnay. It seems to be heading back that way, where the fruit is first.
I think the great man James Halliday himself summed it up the best when he said, "One of the problems with the Edwards, one of the problems with Chardonnay was that it was more about what we could put into it. These days it's about what we leave out." And the reality is that winemakers have really got their finger on the pulse of how to make it with great care and attention to detail. I just wanted to say one thing. Dan was there as well. I was the chairman of judges for the Yarra Valley Wine Show, but at the same time we ran the inaugural James Halliday Chardonnay Challenge, of which we had 450 Chardonnays from across Australia entered to take basically a winner-take-all prize.
Yep.
And we had nine of the amazing, most talented judges. If you include me, 10 of the most talented judges in the country.
Let me get the smoke machine.
And some A-plus associates as well, as I put my hand up.
But the point being is we went through a grueling but incredibly enlightening and interesting exercise to come up with a single winner.
And was it something that we would expect? Because there are some incredible Chardonnays.
What we got was an amazing array of wonderful wines, world class. I'm not just talking Australian standards, I'm talking world standard Chardonnay.
Are you allowed to divulge the winner?
I can't say anything, but I can tell you this. At 12 o'clock on the 8th of October, we will be releasing the winners via video online with James Halliday.
Okay, and the address, online?
So you can just Google James Halliday Chardonnay Challenge and you can find out more about it. And then, of course, it'll go through Twitter and Facebook and everything like that globally, because eventually we want this show to be an international Chardonnay Challenge with James's name, because the great man has done more for Chardonnay in Australia than anybody else.
And look, you know, it's a much maligned beverage, the Chardonnay.
Oh, God, I love it. I love it.
Were you saying anything but Chardonnay before? Now it's like always buy Chardonnay. It is absolutely fantastic. I love it. It's so exciting. And you could almost say, you can say there is no other single grape variety in Australia that is more exciting at the moment than Chardonnay.
But it's inspired a whole lot of people with other grape varieties. And I think we're starting to see more scintillating, sexy, just super Shiraz coming through.
Alliterative.
I know, I've had to do that on purpose. But coming through, Cabernet's going places it's never been before.
Captivating Cabernet, scintillating
Australian
Shiraz.
Wine, full stop, is at the most exciting point in history.
Are we past that stage where we had an incredible glass of wine and you could essentially stick anything into a bottle?
Look, there's still a lot of industrial winemaking going on out there to satisfy the demands of the market. But there's also, I think we're getting beyond the period where we sort of almost had to apologise for making great Australian wine. People are seeing the light, saying, yes, you know, we let's face it, we make the best Australian wine in the world in Australia. But we make wines that stand up and stack up internationally.
Well, we make wines that stand up around the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you ask anybody around the world about Australian wine and everybody will have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest that we make wines in some respects as good as the French.
Absolutely. In many respects better.
In some respects as good as the Italians. Some of the alternative variety stuff that we're doing in this country is incredible.
I can drink Australian Sagrantino.
It depends who makes it.
I can't drink the Italian stuff.
Why? Because it's
awful.
It takes all the taste buds off your tongue and flushes them out.
I love the Aussie stuff.
And look, there are champions for those wines in Australia. There are, the Chalmers girls who are making wines now in Heathcote, whose parents were really brave to bring all of those vines across from places like Sicily and introduce us to wines that we aren't used to. And I guess that's because we've got to wrap this discussion up fairly shortly. I think one of the things that I love about Australian wine is that there's always somebody willing to have a go. There's always somebody willing to do something different and challenge the norm. Kevin McCarthy down at Tagalant started making this thing called Claudius, which was a cloudy white wine based on a Slovakian style of wine. It was great. It was different. You wouldn't drink a lot of it, but it was great.
It was good to see him having a crack as
well. And people making wines in amphora, which sort of happened back in ancient Rome. I mean, there's people that are willing to take risks.
That's the thing, you know, there's so much diversity. And I think a lot of people ask, what's the most, you know, all this happening in Australian wine at the moment, what's going on? I said, well, diversity, I think. You've got so many different styles, so many different grape varieties, so many different characters that are available, which is a good thing. Mm. And when it all comes back down to it, and we were talking before, it comes about the story, about why they're doing it. And I think not just doing it for the sake of doing it, but doing it because they've been inspired by something.
There's a reason to it.
So,
and then if you look at, you know, talking about Chardonnay, you can go to 18 different wine regions in Australia and try 18 incredibly different Chardonnays. Well, and that's the joy of it.
In Victoria, we have 21 diverse wine regions in Victoria.
We're a sport for choice.
We are.
Well, I'd suggest that people get off their backside and get out and visit some of our wonderful Victorian wine regions. It's beautiful out there in the bush. I've spent the last 2 weeks out there and I wouldn't be anywhere else. Guys, thank you for coming in.
Say you've spent the last 2 weeks in the bush?
Yeah, I know. I knew you were going to go there, and so that's why I tried to move on very quickly. Dan Sims and Ben Edwards, thank you both for joining me. Good luck with the project in Argentina continues.
Thanks for having us. We feel
Pinopalooza, there is a website.
Yeah, absolutely. Pinopalooza.com.au.
And of course, if they want to find out anything more about you boys, there's some really dirty videos on YouTube. I've been Pete Dillon. Enjoy the grand final. Swans by 12 points. We'll have some
go
announcements, and then a song to play at the show that is dedicated to the two of you. It's 5 minutes to two.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.